Budding Business on East Coast FM.
Yes, things have been difficult during the lockdowns, restrictions and the pandemic that we thought on the programme for this period anyway, that we give a shout out to various businesses that have been doing their best, getting out there and being successful too during this lockdown. So, budding business it is. And let's go first of all to Hannah Sheeran from Ballyhubbock Farm. Hello to you, Hannah.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning. You're in the Glen of Imagh. What a gorgeous part of County Wicklow. And what is your business?
So we run Ballyhubbock Farm, which is a sheep dairy business here in the Glen of Imagh. So we produce sheep milk halloumi, sheep milk ice cream and sheep milk ricotta from our flock of milking sheep here.
Brilliant. And you're not alone because I believe George is there. Hi, George.
Hiya, how are you?
Good morning to you. So things like halloumi, I love halloumi. Where can we get all these products?
Yeah, so we're in every Super Value in Wicklow through the Food Academy. And we have just announced that we'll be with Aldi on the June bank holiday as a special buy. We're also with Sheridan's Cheesemongers nationwide. So you can find us on their website and at their counters. And then we're in a good few independent retail stores and health stores around Ireland.
Brilliant.
As well.
Well done. George, how difficult was it over the last while having Ballyhubbock Farm on the go?
It's been quite difficult now. It's been when COVID hit there last year, we got a bit of a fright, so we did. We had big plans for to go food serve and some into the retail, and then kind of COVID hit then, and we literally had to sit down for half a day and figure out which route are we going to go, because unfortunately around that time, the sheep had lambed and we were starting to milk the sheep, so they were still producing milk every day, so we had to start going somewhere with the milk. So there was a big, huge push here to push all of our products to retail, so that was sort of the route we went. And luckily enough, the first couple of weeks we were a bit afraid what way we were going to go, and then my phone started ringing then, and it never stopped ringing for a couple of months, and it hit around October last year, and we had sold out all right. of our products in October. We had to kind of pull back and stop marketing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, that's a good complaint, isn't it? So this has been good for you then, has it? And it's probably sharpened your mind too.
Oh, yeah, most certainly, yeah. Well, like, it opens up your head towards, like, what's out there. Like, you have to be able to adapt. If you don't adapt, you'll be left behind, and that's really the way we think ongoing. You have to adapt or die, and that's the way we look at things.
And I suppose
towards
the back end of last year as well, we won the Blossom Heron Award, which was great. So that really pushed sales towards the end of the year as well.
Yeah.
And it really helped once we started producing again in 2021, it really helped drive sales on again for this year. So.
Yeah, because it's given us great confidence that the product has
been accepted and people like it. Hannah, what's the history of the farm? I mean, could anybody who was around the farm 50 years ago envisage what you're doing now? What was there?
I don't know if they can envisage milking sheep now, but that's new to Ireland, let alone new to the Glen of Imagh. And a lot of people said we were mad to do what we did, and maybe we are a bit, but it's George's family's farm, so they did milk cows back in the 70s here. So we had a certain amount of infrastructure there. We had an old parlour. George's granny won All-Ireland for making butter. So dairy is definitely not new here. But then it was a sutler and sheep farm, commercial sheep farm. And then George studied down in Cadalton. And from there, he's always been hugely passionate about sheep. But the prices, unfortunately, aren't wonderful. Although people are saying this year the prices of sheep are great. But George wanted to be able to make a business from the farm. So that's why we, I suppose, altered what we were doing and went into sheep dairy. So, yeah. Certainly different.
Great stuff. And listen, last year, George, gold winner, Blossom Heron, just to mention that entries are closing soon for this year's competition. So, how did it affect the business that you actually won that particular gold medal for what you do?
Yeah, Yeah, so I suppose, as George said earlier on, it gave us huge confidence in our product because, I mean, we love what we do and we're really proud of what we do, but to see somebody else choose our product independently, not knowing who we were, what we do, and to say that it was worth a gold medal was great.
Yeah.
So to have that confidence in our product is great. And then, as you said, it really drove sales on towards the end of last year. And then as well, when we started producing this year, it's really helped drive sales on. So it's been great.
Yeah, you see, the product is, we kind of try to keep everything very traditional and in regard to the way we process the milk. And traditionally, halloumi was made from sheep's milk. So that's the route we wanted to go. We wanted to bring it back to the traditional way. So we make it, and our big emphasis is it's actually made from 100% sheep's milk. We don't mix milks or we don't do anything like that. And it's kind of really proven that by winning the Blas na Héireann Award gold, it's really proven that people do like it.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck to you, Hannah and George. Congratulations to you. You're going very well there in the Glenfamal, and it's Ballyhubbock Farm, and we watch out for you in Super Value. And also, Aldi coming up very soon. Great to see you. You're doing so well in the current conditions. Well done. Great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Hannah and George there in Glenfamal Ballyhubbock Farm. We're looking after our own here in County Wicklow. That sounds brilliant. How about John Marr? How's he getting on at Wicklow Walk? Hi, John.
Hi, how are you? John Myers getting on very well, thanks.
Good, because we spoke to you before, a Thai food takeaway in Wicklow, but expanding to other parts of County Wicklow. Tell us more, John.
Yeah, that's it. We set up 6 months ago, and since we set up, thankfully business has really been blossoming. We recently launched there in Greystones with an Airstream food trailer in the boatyard just down at the marina, which has gone really, really well. Great to meet many of our neighbours, our Greystones neighbours. And we have also a vintage Citroen food truck from 1972 that was refurbished, and that's in front of the Anchor Bar on the Strand Road in Bray.
All right, so you're all over the place, John. That's fantastic. It looks, you know, from the pictures I've seen, you know, old worldy, but that's part of its magic. And I'm sure, you know, there was lots of people that I heard of queuing up as well. So they like the taste as well. So you have a great attractive package going for yourself.
Yeah, very, very happy with, you know, everything in terms of the quality of the food, the service that we're able to offer our customers, and then also the aesthetics around the vehicles, I suppose, in which we trade out of.
Brilliant stuff. So you're happy 6 months in business, and, you know, we're talking to businesses around County Wicklow to see how they got on during the various lockdowns and restrictions. Yourself, you don't seem to have been affected. Have things been that good?
Things have been that good. It was probably one of the reasons for setting up during the pandemic, actually, and that was we kind of realised that pandemic has accelerated e-commerce. So what I mean by that is 99% of our orders are ordered through our app or through the website. And the pandemic has taught people that, you know, ordering goods or products through their phones or through their laptops has become easier and easier. So we facilitate that change in behaviour very much so. Then also, during the pandemic,
yes,
people have become... Pardon?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, during the pandemic, people have become very health conscious. And what we do at Wicklow Walk is all our food is prepared on the day, for the day, and we use top quality ingredients. So we're kind of ticking that box. And then, I suppose, finally, families have become a little bit more intimate. They're spending more time together. Parents aren't commuting as much, so they're eating at home. more. They're eating, I suppose, what we offer is a restaurant experience, a restaurant quality food at home. So it's easier for families to
order up and have an enjoyable experience together. John Marr, Wicklow Wok, started in Wicklow, expanded to Greystones and a presence as well in Bray. Well done to John. So it's great to hear about all these businesses. You know, we're having a restart, I suppose, when the restrictions are locked down and people who looked at things differently. It's a budding business that we're doing here. We've heard from two businesses in the county and we like to highlight businesses who've had a tough time during the pandemic, but through ingenuity and creativeness, they are working away and making things better for people in County Wicklow. Let's talk to Mark Atkins. Mark is from Greystones Business Network. It was created as a response to the post-pandemic new business landscape in Greystones, and the network says Greystones is now a substantial hub for many businesses, and it's clear there needs to be collective thinking and a clear voice for the business community. Well, Mark, you know, maybe I've outlined it there, but tell us the origins of it.
Hi, Declan, how are you?
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm part of the town team here in Greystones, the committee on the town team, and it's been clear for a couple of years now that Greystones has lacked any sort of voice for the business that operates in Greystones. I think back in 2014 was the last meeting of the Chamber of Commerce, which was very active and successful here, but unfortunately it didn't survive after 2014. And what I'm trying to do with a small committee and the support of the town team, and to be fair, the support of the local council as well, is try and establish a voice for Greystones business. And start getting, you know, the important issues that we're all facing in business, not just due to the pandemic, but as a growing and busy town, to get our voice heard and start being active in that area. So that's what we're looking to do. We've set up a website called greystonesnetwork.ie. It's only a landing page at the moment, but what the message I want to get out today is I want businesses that are operating in the Greystones area to go onto that website, register their interest, and then we will start our meetings from there, so to speak.
And for people who live in Greystones, how will they ultimately get to know that those businesses are there and you will have traffic towards the website?
Yeah, well, we're not looking to be a business listing, Declan. We're looking to be a lobby group, I suppose, for businesses. There's a great website there already called greystones.ie that the town team was involved with, and it's got a listing of businesses. I think there's 320 businesses listed on it.
Brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the tip of the iceberg, to be honest with you. So what we want to do is encourage those businesses that are out there to let us know who you are, let us know you're interested in having a voice, and then we can work together as a group. I mean, there's been so many changes in the last year. It's been very difficult for business, particularly small businesses, I think, having to deal with the change in payments that are supported by the council, that are supported by revenue, payrolls that have changed, and all these businesses are expected to do this on their own. So as a collective, we can help each other, and we can try and make Greystones a better place to do business and do business with each other, which is great.
And maybe would you envisage, you know, having an input into council decisions about, I don't know, roads and parking and various things like that?
Yeah, all that's very important. We've got a couple of huge changes coming to Greystones shortly. There's talk of a movie studios going into the south area of Greystones town. There's a huge wind farm started recently, the Codling wind farm off the shore, and these are going to make massive changes to the area of Greystones. And unless business has a voice and an input, we'll, you know, it'll be completely overlooked as to what the needs are for the local business community. So it's very important. Yes, we want to be sitting at the table with the council, talking about what our needs are. And to be right. fair to the council, I have to say, they very much want business to be represented. Even just with the reopening this week and last week of retail, I know the council has been knocking on retailers' doors, asking, "Can we help you?" And you know, it's great that they do it, but we should be at the table with the council saying these are our needs.
Okay. Well, one last thing, Mark. How do you differ then from the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, there is no Chamber of Commerce.
Is there not?
There is not in Grey Zones.
Right.
The last Chamber of Commerce was 2014. So there.
Right. I didn't know it had gone. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's gone, and it leaves a huge gap.
Good.
So
you,
we
could fill that gap anyway and be that voice.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very we good. Want to be member-driven. So if people could get onto greyzonesnetwork.ie, register their name, business name and email, and we'll follow up from there.
Very good. Mark Atkins there from Greystone's Business Network. I didn't know that the Chamber of Commerce is gone, so fair play to you, you know, looking to fill that void and having a strong voice for business in Greystone's. Great to talk to you, Mark. Keep in touch.
Thanks very much indeed.
Bye-bye. Take care. So you learn something new every day, which is grand, but there you go. Wish them all the very best. Pudding business continues. And what about somebody trying to have a business and then inexplicably they're told that what they're doing is in contrary to COVID laws? We were talking to Ryan O'Neill during the week. He's back with us from Retro Drive-In Movies. Ryan, good morning again.
Good morning, Declan. How are you?
So, listen, any word on this? I saw the piece there with Eamon Ryan saying he was surprised that it wasn't going ahead and he was going to raise it in all parts of government. Any explanation yet why you appeared on the list? And I suppose, any movement at all?
No, there's been very little movement since I last spoke to you, Declan, unfortunately. And since that, we had to cancel last night's screenings. We've had to cancel tonight's, and also we had to reschedule the Bon Jovi screenings for Saturday as well. So we've kept the fight going. We've contacted the various departments, and we just seem to be getting the standard reply, which is the statement that they've issued to us and to others, which just basically says that they're not allowed and that they're going to look at it in June. But they keep using the words, we're going to look at cinemas and theatres in June. But the question we're asking is, why was that legislation changed? Was there a reason? What's the rationale for that? Or was it an oversight? And if it was an oversight, then that's fine, you know, just fix it. And it can, look, this is the frustrating part about it, because I think it can be fixed fairly quickly. You mentioned Eamon Ryan there, he stood up yesterday. That's a leader of one of the government parties who's saying that in his head he can't understand why. And then you've just got the contradictory statement then from one of his colleagues, his party colleagues, Catherine Martin, who says no, they're not allowed. So it just needs a little bit of joined up thinking. And to be honest with you, the fact that still on Friday, when I spoke to you on, I think it was Wednesday, I was optimistic. As time goes on, I'm getting less optimistic, because if it drags out, you know, nothing's going to happen over the weekend, I wouldn't say. So if we're going into next week with this, then it's just going to be an absolute disaster for us, unfortunately.
It seems like that it's easy peasy and goodwill to do. It's a positive story. Mm-hmm. Say, look what we can do. We can drive in our car and we park in a car park. I mean, if I go and park in a car park and look out at the bay or in the sea or something like that, what's the difference between going to a drive-in movie and doing and looking out my window at a screen? I just can't fathom what it is.
Well, the difference is, Declan, we have a controlled. That's the, like, I mean, that's the difference on the opposite side. You know, it's a controlled environment. So, you know, we've done everything that we've been asked to do in terms of all our ticket sales are in advance. We don't do any where you can come up to the gate and buy a ticket. Now, what that creates then is an issue for us, that because we have done that, that we then have to refund those tickets if something like this happens. happens, you know. And as I said to you the other day, I kind of have sympathy for the guards in terms of the legislation. They've been very good. They only enforce the legislation. They don't write it. So all it takes, if somebody phoned me today and said to me, listen, this is the rationale, this is the reason, we need a bit of time to get this fixed because of X, Y and Z, then I would say that's absolutely fine. At least there's a reason. But the frustrating part is, you know, it's just been, you know, overlooked, and it's, you know, it doesn't seem to be a priority. And I can guarantee you that if it was their business that was suffering financially, and it's a wider, as I always say, it's a wider thing as well. It's about other businesses. It's about the people, the contractors who we use. It's about the venues. And I don't want to be talking about it. I want to just, you know, be getting on with what we do
and doing it. And what your culture is in the Daily Mail today of potentially losing 30,000.
Yeah, that would be, because if you think about even when you reschedule something like the Bon Jovi screenings, for example, when you reschedule those, some people just won't be able to go to the rescheduled date. So it has to be then refunded, and then you have to sell those tickets again and all of that kind of stuff. And also, a lot of the time for this kind of thing, you book stuff in advance. So when you're booking screens and you're booking venues and all that kind of stuff, deposits are put down. And so, yeah, like, it's very hard to put a figure on it. But what also happens is your tickets stop selling, because there's been so much media about this that what's happened is people are thinking, okay, they're unsure whether this thing is going to go ahead. Why would you buy a ticket for something that you're unsure about?
Yeah. Ryan, if you hear anything, please do let us know here at East Coast FM. And, you know, we wish you all the very best of luck with that. And hopefully there's some common sense will actually prevail.
Thanks,
Ryan O'Neill there from Retro Drive-In Movies. Thanks very much indeed to Ryan.